You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
And welcome to another edition of the College Gridiron 365 podcast. I am Brant Parsons with half a voice. Matt Mershell also joining me. The playoff rankings have just been announced, the penultimate rankings leading up to next week's final rankings. Maybe nothing too shocking in it. The one thing that shocked me was maybe how high Auburn is in it with their two losses. But Matt, when you look over these rankings and your initial reactions to them, what sticks out for you?
Well, I think as you mentioned, you know, having Auburn at number two was kind of surprising. I thought maybe that they would slip into that number four spot, you know, Oklahoma would move up to two. But again, the committee talked a little bit about the fact that they have been impressive as of late. You know, they've had two wins over number one teams with Georgia and Alabama, and that's pushed them kind of in that two spot. I think the other thing that stood out to me was Alabama at number five. I think we were all wondering where would Alabama fall, where would Ohio State fall. Those are two teams that seem to have that kind of on the outside looking in kind of scenario going on. Alabama comes in at five, Ohio State at number eight. So, you know, when we look at the overall picture and what could happen this weekend and those chaos scenarios that we've talked about, you know, over the last couple weeks, where if Ohio State beats Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship, or, you know, Auburn beats, you know, or if, I'm sorry, TCU were to beat, you know, Oklahoma, would that open the door for either Alabama or Ohio State? And at this point, at least, it looks like Alabama may have the slight edge in that matter.
And looking at that, Alabama at number five, without a game still to play, three teams behind them, one of which Miami at seven you would think is in with a win. Number six, Georgia, you would think is in with a win over Auburn. Do you see those two teams as jumping Alabama if they win their conference title game? And then, having said that, does a team like Auburn, if they lose, drop then below Alabama in the rankings?
Yeah, I think they would, to be honest with you. I mean, I think if whoever wins the SEC, I think is almost definitively in, you know what I mean? I think whether it's Auburn or Georgia, I think whoever wins the ACC, to be honest with you. I know Miami at seven, there's a little bit of concern that, you know, if they win, do they have enough to push themselves in? I still think they would. I mean, I think you look at their body of work and what they've been able to do. To me, and obviously if Oklahoma wins, I think they get in as well. You know, to me, it's just interesting. Does Alabama, you know, do they have enough not having that 13th game to find their way in? You know, I don't think, you know, if Miami loses, for instance, or Clemson loses, I don't think the loser of the ACC, you know, finds their way in. I don't think the loser of the SEC finds their way in. I think maybe Alabama would still find their way in. And I'm interested on the Ohio State front because, you know, Kirby Hocutt, the committee chair, was asked tonight about how important are conference championships, you know, in the sense of winning them, you know, when it comes to the overall picture. And he said, you know, yeah, conference championships are important. But he also said, you know, the committee, you know, was given kind of these rights by the conference commissioners when they created the playoff selection committee, you know, to have these kind of what do they call them, like to look at parameters, you know, when it comes to this. And one of those was strength of schedule, you know, head-to-head, you know, outcomes against, you know, common opponents and conference championships. So he said in a sense, yes, it's going to be important, but it's not the be-all, end-all important. So if Ohio State wins the Big Ten, it's not given that Ohio State just gets in. You know, I mean, I think there's going to be some discussion there as well. This is why I think, Brant, that when we get into Sunday and when we're talking about this when they finally make the announcement, depending on what happens on Saturday, this could be some controversial decisions that were made. You know, if the top four teams win out, I don't think it matters. You know, I don't think any of that's going to matter. But if someone loses along the way, it's going to be interesting to see who slides into that spot. And there's going to be some teams that are going to be upset, and there's going to be some fan bases that will be upset, and some conferences that are going to be upset. But in the end, I think this is what the selection committee has been talking about all season long.
What is the scenario on Saturday that has the possibility of really, I don't want to say blowing this up, but really getting people in a huffy? Do you see one where there is maybe more outrage than others if it happens?
Well, I mean, I think if Wisconsin, if Ohio State beats Wisconsin, you know, I think there may be some discussion on the front of you know, let's say Ohio State as the Big Ten champion doesn't get in. You know, I mean, I think that's going to be some discussion. We saw that last year. Let's not forget Penn State was the conference champion, the Big Ten champion, and they didn't get in.
And let's remember Nick Saban's comments from last year, too.
Yes, and then that's true. And then, you know, but then there's going to be Alabama, you know, and if Alabama slides into that spot, there's going to be some of that discussion. I think Oklahoma, if TCU beats Oklahoma, I don't think if TCU beats Oklahoma, I don't think TCU gets in. And I think there'll be some TCU fans will be upset by that point, you know, because the whole point of creating the Big 12 championship was to kind of provide this 13th data point so they could get into that mix. But I think at TCU at number 11, I just don't think it's enough, you know, for them to kind of get that boost. Now, somehow, if the committee says, yeah, sure, TCU gets in, I mean, then everyone really starts screaming and yelling, you know. So, I mean, there's some scenarios that I think they're going to be interesting. I think if you're on that 10-11 range, I think it's going to be too far outside the top 10. I think it's too far. I mean, Penn State doesn't have a chance to get in, so that's really kind of and neither does USC, so I mean, that doesn't really matter. But I really think it's going to be these top eight teams. You know, there's going to be some teams left out. There's going to be some teams that, you know, Wisconsin with one loss, if they lose to Ohio State, could be left out. And they've had a good year, but, you know, the committee kept harping on the fact that their strength of schedule wasn't very good, and that could be something that could keep them out of the mix as well. So, there's going to be someone upset. There's going to be a couple group fan bases upset when this is all said and done. Now, again, like kind of what Reese Davis on ESPN's broadcast kind of said, listen, if all four of the top teams win, none of this matters. You know what I mean? They go, and that's it. That's your top four team, and you don't have to worry about it. That's the kind of dream scenario if you're the selection committee where you don't have to, like, freak out about, you know, dealing with this. But you don't. The way the season has gone, Brent, I can't see – you know, we've had chaos almost every weekend. I can't see someone not losing, at least one team losing, that's going to cause this to kind of be shaken up.
And I got to take a moment on this, and I may sound homer on this, but can the committee just own up that they're never going to give a group of five team any amount of credit? UCF 11-0, they knock off USF in probably the game of the season, one of the top games of the season. They drop a Notre Dame team down 7 because they lose to Stanford, but then move Stanford up 9 spots to number 12. So now UCF sits at 14 behind a Stanford team with 3 losses, including in that they lost to San Diego State. I believe they struggle with Oregon State. But there they are, 3 losses. They're ahead of UCF. Washington at 10-2 is ahead of UCF. I feel that this UCF team is probably a top 10 team. They probably, if you want to go by those numbers, their strength of record is better than Ohio State's. It's up there with a lot of these teams. They are not getting the credit. And you know, it's week in, week out, we keep saying, oh, well, you know, they got to keep winning, and, oh, well, they're the highest spot. But this is ridiculous that in the past 3 or 4 weeks, UCF has moved up one spot. And all they've done is win. All these teams above them keep losing, but then they find other teams to somehow magically put them ahead of UCF. And it just, to me, it's a slap in the face of the group of five. And I know they signed up for this, and I know they're complicit because they're part of this. But the fact that this committee continues to look down on the group of five and their accomplishments, even Memphis at 20 with just one loss and one loss to UCF, and they have teams above them with 3 losses all over the board. It's just, to me, it is evident of how college football is slanted for the Power Five, and how that's not going to change under this current scenario and system and everything with that.
Well, I mean, you know, I spoke with Kirby Hokut tonight. You know, I asked him on the conference call about, basically, you know, did you watch the game on Friday, and what was the conversation like, you know, it came to UCF? And he said, you know, one of the things that they looked at this weekend, you know, they've been impressed week in and week out. They've been impressed with the offense. But for the first time, Kirby said the committee actually spent a lot of time talking about UCF's defense. He said the committee had questions to whether how balanced this UCF team is. And have they, you know, and what have they done against some of these other teams when it came to, like, you know, have they been tested, basically, on the defensive side of the football this year? If so, by who? And he said, you know, based on those conversations, they looked at the teams above them, they felt like UCF should be in that 14th spot, you know? I mean, nothing Kirby Hokut says.
Just real quick. Oklahoma gave up 41 points to Baylor. 1-10 or 1-11 Baylor. They gave up 35 points to K-State. They gave up 52 points to Oklahoma. Don't give me this defense. Every week he's got a new story. I know I'm ranting, but it just they keep coming up with different reasons, and I feel that this is just not just UCF but Group in Five in general. They just keep looking for reasons to not prop them up.
Well, I mean, and we've talked about this time and time again. I mean, you know, and I know I get attacked by fans on this stuff, but I mean that's unfortunately that's the agreement that went through. You know, I mean, I think. You know, until they sit down and talk about this, you know, and I talked to Mike Oresko, the American Athletic Conference Commissioner, on Saturday after UCF's big win, and we talked a little bit about that. I asked him, you know, what can you do as a Group of Five conference? You know, what can you do? I mean, can you tell your members to schedule harder? Can you do whatever? And he said, you know, they're looking at trying to get it up to a point where every one of their members, every one of their schools, has at least two Power Five schools, you know, on their non-conference schedule. He thinks that's going to help them, obviously, in the long run. He pointed out a good point in Houston in 2015. You know, Houston was 12-1, and they finished 18th in the last playoff rankings. And that's a team, let's not forget, that beat Oklahoma and a ranked Oklahoma team and a Louisville team that year. Yes. You know, so, you know, they finished at that spot. But then they went on to win the Peach Bowl. You remember, they beat at Florida State. So, you know, at some point, I think the best thing, and I know UCF fans get mad when I say this, or the best thing is win your conference, go to the Peach Bowl, and beat maybe Georgia or, you know, Alabama or whoever's going to be there, Ohio State maybe, and, you know, put on a show, beat them convincingly, and then, you know, you won't. You know, that kind of is your reward for what happened. And I agree with you. This committee is not going to give you – they're not going to be a top 10 team. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, the only way a Group of Five school gets in the top 10 is if you play, you know, two or three ranked teams on your schedule and you beat them, beat two or three of them. You know, I mean, I just think it's almost impossible. But I don't know if it's stacked against them. I just think that's the way – the Power Five, Group of Five kind of dynamic has been. And, you know, I know it's frustrating, but when I talked to Mike Oresko, he said, you know, that's, we knew it was going to be an uphill battle when we agreed to do the playoff.
Right. And he's going to say all the right things. And I'm not as tied to that. It just, you know, you wanted to beat ranked opponents. They beat Memphis by a handful. USF was ranked most of the year. They only have one loss. It wasn't Quentin Flowers. It wasn't like they went up against nobody. Right,
but they no, but and I'm again not to play, but I'm gonna play devil's advocate in this front. USF wasn't ranked in the playoff rankings.
Well, that's
you know, I mean, and if they were ranked in the playoff rankings, maybe that would have been different. But they weren't, and at that point, you know, I mean, then you know, that's the argument that Oresko had last week.
And the argument
was USF should have been.
The argument on that is also Mississippi State somehow is still in there, 8-4. NC State is still up there somehow, 8-4. Northwestern 9-3. Those teams aren't better than USF. Just look at the eye test alone would tell you that.
Well, and I mean, again, you know, we can argue this point for hours. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, I don't think you have the voice for it, but I mean, I think it's, you know, I mean, it's just that's kind of the way the system is set up in some regards, and how they look at some of the schools, and when they get to this point where they'll look at some of this and they'll say, you know, strength of schedule versus, you know, head to head of its common opponents against, I mean, there's always going to be a knock against a Group of Five school, and it has nothing to do with it just happens. It's UCF this year. Next year it could be someone else, you know, but I mean, a Group of Five team is just not going to be there. You know, I think at the end of the year, I ask Oresko about this, and he says, you know, they're gonna meet, you know, all the conference commissioners sit down with the selection committee, and they talk about some of the things that they think worked and didn't work. And he says, you know, I'll voice my opinion and tell them what I think. But I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think that's going to mean they're going to change anything or overhaul anything. I think it's always going to be set up the way it is. You wouldn't give an unfair advantage to a Group of Five just for the sake of the Group of Five, just to kind of balance things out, I guess is what I'm saying. I just don't think it's ever going to happen, at least not until they decide, you know, the playoff contract runs out and then they decide whether to continue this or do something else.
And before we go, just if you had to pick which four you think are going to end up there right now on a Tuesday night, what four would you have that will be announced on Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock?
Well, you know what? I'm actually I like Clemson. I think there'll still be one. You know, I'm liking Auburn. I mean, Auburn has played really well. I mean, you know, I know Georgia gets another crack at him, but Auburn is just playing really well. I know Kerryon, you know, is hurt, but I mean, I think defensively they're really good. I like what Oklahoma's done offensively, so I think they fall at three. I think it's going to be the top four. I think this is going to, as all this chatter back and forth is going to come down to, it's going to end up being the top four teams. Because I just think Wisconsin's really good. I mean, and I know that hurts you because I know you're an Ohio State fan. But I just, having watched Wisconsin's defense, you know, last couple weeks and what they've been able to do, if Barrett's not 100% too, I mean, there's going to be some issue. You know, I kind of see Wisconsin could pull that one out. So all that would be nothing. Alabama gets left out, and then that'll cause a big stir with Nick Saban, and then maybe that'll get the playoff to change.
And I'm going
to
agree with you on all those points, except I think Georgia beats Auburn the second time around. They're going to get them on a neutral field. It's always hard to beat a team a second time, but I would say Clemson wins, Oklahoma wins. We've spent so much time talking about what if with Ohio State, without even giving Wisconsin any credit. That's a good football team up there. I think they can minimize Ohio State's offense. Slow them down enough. So I think Wisconsin gets in, and I think Georgia beats Auburn and then jumps from number six into the top four over Alabama. And then Nick Saban is left on the outside. And I think that maybe in the long run, even is good for the playoff, because then I think that'll bring more attention to maybe this thing being modified down the road. You couldn't argue that it was against them because if they went beat Auburn, they're still, you know, they still control their own destiny. But I see Alabama, the first team out, Clemson, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Georgia. Those would be my four that are going to be there on Sunday. But the way this season has gone, who knows?
Well, and let's not also too, if it is the top four teams, you know, again, don't forget they've got to be ranked, you know, depending on whether they fall and where they're ranked tonight. You know, there's going to be matchups. You know, if it goes as it is tonight, you know, Clemson would end up facing Wisconsin, you know, in the Sugar Bowl, and then Auburn and Oklahoma would tee off, you know, in the Fiesta Bowl, it looks like. Auburn and Oklahoma obviously have played each other before. They played each other last year, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the bowl game, Sugar Bowl. So that's kind of interesting. And, you know, I mean, again, Clemson, the defending national champion, would get, you know, an undefeated team and maybe get a chance to kind of, you know, trying to get back there as well. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, that's the case. So if Georgia does come in, then that kind of changes things up. It definitely makes things interesting in the SEC East, and it definitely puts the onus on Dan Mullen if Georgia gets into the playoff, because that's going to pretty much be the notice that, like, listen, we got to figure out a way to get, you know, Florida's got to figure out a way to get themselves back in there. So I think it's great. I know we've had a lot of discussion about this, but the playoff has done what it's supposed to do. And I tell people in the very end, it's all about creating buzz and interest. And if it wasn't for the playoff, we wouldn't be arguing about this stuff week in and week out on Tuesday nights.
We'd be talking about something else. And so they've done well.
We'd be talking about crazy coaching carousels.
We would be talking about Tennessee fans and things like that. And maybe we'll do that in a podcast still this week too. But you're right. It's done what it's supposed to do. It's the perfect venue for college football to – it's what people get passionate about, as you can tell from some of our discussions even on it. And you're right, it keeps people intrigued, and it certainly sets up for an interesting Saturday. We'll see what happens. We might talk again about the coaching carousel this week before everything happens this weekend, but we'll definitely be talking on Sunday after the playoff four are announced. Thanks to Matt Michelle for doing this on a Tuesday night, and thanks to my voice for holding up relatively well through it, and I'll work on getting that back. And make sure you subscribe and share us on social media, and check out more podcasts brought to you by the Orlando Sentinel.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Michelle. Come back often, and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.